Hello, world, and welcome to a series of unfortunate sequels, where we explore the highs
and the lows
of cinema's most enduring franchises. My name is John.
And I'm Rebecca.
Today, we're going to be talking about the highest-rated movie in the Mortal Kombat franchise, Mortal Kombat. Though, not the original Mortal Kombat, the new one from the year 2021.
Although barely.
Yes. It came out to some high reviews. By now it has settled onto a solid 6.2, putting it above the original by only 0.4 points.
Can I? All right. So we're going to get a few things out of the way right away. One, if you've never listened to this podcast before, we talk in great detail about the movie. So if you don't want any spoilers for the new Mortal Kombat, I would stop listening because we are going to talk about the whole thing. Two, what the hell is wrong with everyone?
Right.
You liked this, right?
Yeah.
This movie was fun as hell. It was very silly, but were you expecting something else?
Right, like, I feel like I know what the main complaint that I've seen
is, dumb. What's the main complaint? Because I haven't really heard it.
I mean, the main complaint is that it is a Mortal Kombat movie that does not feature a Mortal Kombat.
What?
Which is the name of the tournament which the other movies featured.
There's so many Mortal Kombats in it.
But the Mortal Kombat tournament is not in it.
Who cares?
They apparently care. Although, let me tell you what they don't care about.
Okay.
They don't care about how in the first movie, Sub-Zero and Scorpion are fighting for the same side. No, they don't care about that little story inconsistency. Oh. But as soon as you get a Mortal Kombat movie with no Mortal Kombat in it, now it's... It was a good movie, folks. It's fine.
If you want some
fun fucking fights and Mortal Kombat action outside of a Mortal Kombat tournament.
I mean, they're prepping for a Mortal Kombat tournament. And it kind of seems like, okay, so I'm going to say I'm coming at this knowing basically nothing about Mortal Kombat. I think I have seen the first movie that came out in, what, the 80s, whatever, 90s? 90s?
90s.
Why did I say 80s? Like, am I stoned? No, the 90s. And then for a little while, when I was about 9 years old, I played Mortal Kombat 3. Should I have been playing Mortal Kombat 3? No, but my parents didn't know what it was, and they didn't care. That's what I know. So I knew who Sonya was. I've heard of Sub-Zero and Scorpion, who I kept calling Scorpio by accident the entire movie. It was like, I was like an old lady. And just to go along with that, John asked me to get him a Nutrageous today from the grocery store, and I accidentally got him one called an Outrageous, and that's where I'm at. I'm old, and I'm tired, and I don't know what things are. But anyway... Okay. Oh, okay. So kind of what it felt like in this movie is that there was a Mortal Kombat. They just kind of staged it the way they wanted it. They just kind of like moved it up. They were like, well, we don't want to wait for the tournament. So the tournament's happening right now. So I would argue that there kind of was a Mortal Kombat. I don't know. Is that not what it's supposed to be like, though?
No, they're pretty strict rules.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't really give a shit.
No, as someone going into a movie about Mortal Kombat shouldn't.
Yeah. So, John, your experience with the Mortal Kombat franchise, I think, is you have seen them all, and you have been looking forward to this since you heard about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have seen them all. I loved the first one. I loved the second one for what it was, which is just an abomination.
Yeah, I can't wait, because I love a good bad movie. You know I do.
Yeah. In terms of the games themselves, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 was the last one like that I sunk a ton of time into.
And what was that for?
That was for Super Nintendo.
What station? What console was that for? Who am I?
I have played some of the newer ones.
Mm. I haven't heard good things about them.
Well, yeah. The thing is that at the time, Mortal Kombat was kind of like a premier fighting game, and over time, I mean, obviously they've evolved a lot, like the game itself has gotten much, much better, but it has not evolved from a competitive standpoint as far or as quickly as Street Fighter, and was quickly surpassed.
Yes. I confuse some characters from Mortal Kombat with Street Fighter sometimes, and I always have to try to remind myself Street Fighter are the ones that are realistic ish, right? And Mortal Kombat are more fantasy like, with the exception of like Johnny Cage, apparently.
Roughly.
Yeah.
And I will say in the later games, like they lean into this a lot more by making their fights more cinematic than Street Fighter.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. They have a lot of moves that will break the flow of action to highlight bones breaking and things like like in the middle of a fight, there's more long cinematic scenes associated with things that kind of take you out of the fight but are cool to look at. So like they leaned into it.
It's like Final Destination.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the way to go. If you want to make a fighting game that is for competitive play, that just comes with so much shit. And if that's what you want to do, great. But balance is so important. And if you just want to make a fun, grotesque fighting game, then lean into that. And that sounds like kind of what they're doing. And I think that's fun. Yeah, I
they're still at the top of the game for that one. I can't think of a better fighting game if you want that.
Just like an entertainment party fighting game, I guess. Although Super Smash Brothers would be...
If you want violence, though.
Yeah. I guess we'll get into the actual movie now, though. I feel like plot-wise, there's not, like, a hell of a lot because it is a fighting movie. A lot of the action scenes, I feel like, aren't going to be very exciting if we go through them point by point. But I would just recommend watching it.
Yes.
But it is violent.
Yeah. Be warned. Mm-hmm. As if it being a Mortal Kombat movie wasn't...
I guess it's gory and grotesque.
Yeah, they upped it from... They upped it to rated R.
Was it originally not rated R?
You know what, I'm trying to think if the original was PG-13.
I thought
rated
the original was pretty, had a lot of gore. I don't remember though.
They got around it by never showing deaths. They would show violence and then cut off screen for the deaths.
Oh god.
Which makes me think it was 13.
Oh, interesting. Maybe
they would show dead bodies, but they would not show them die.
All right, okay. Anywho.
So this movie starts out in 1617 at the Hanzo Hasashi compound. Now, we meet a happy family here, so you immediately know they're all going to die.
Exactly.
And sure enough, Hanzo goes to get water. While he's gone, Bihan... We only know him as Bihan right now, shows up, and he has ice powers, so we presumably know he's Sub-Zero. He just basically kills Hanzo's family, so when Hanzo gets back from water, they're dead. And luckily before the mother dies, she's able to hide their baby in kind of a space underneath the floorboards.
Yeah, they have a daughter and a basket, and they hide her.
So she's able to hide her away. Hanzo gets back, family's dead, assassins attack him, he kills them, no big deal, he's Hanzo, he's cool.
He does tie a kind of like, what kind of knife is that?
He ties a kunai to a rope.
Yeah, and he starts whipping that around, so you're like, oh, this is Scorpion.
Yeah.
Even me, who doesn't know anything about Mortal Kombat, knew what this was.
It was pretty clear.
Yeah.
Then he has a big showdown with Sub-Zero. He gets wrecked pretty bad in this showdown, but he lives long enough to crawl back to his dead family before burning and disappearing.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Raiden appears and finds the baby that was hidden under the house.
Okay, John, you just say, then Raiden appears. Like, everyone knows who this motherfucker is. Oh, then a jolt of lightning comes down and a man is there.
Yes.
I call him Thunder Man.
Then Lord Raiden, Lightning God, appears. He hears the baby crying and picks it up from under the house and then whisks it away in a thunder beam.
Yes, he also does take the kunai that, what was his name?
Sub-Zero.
Well, his real name. We don't know.
He's Bihan.
He hasn't said the line, I'm Sub-Zero now, yet. There's a lot of really good one-liners like that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Sub-Zero had killed Scorpion. Not Scorpion yet, but that guy with the kunai, and Thunder God took it. That is going to come up later.
It will come up later.
Yeah.
Important to note. Now we get, you know, one of those little text openings that kind of explains what's going on.
Kind of. If you know, it just confused me.
Yeah. If you're unfamiliar with the Mortal Kombat lore, Mortal Kombat is a tournament that's held between Outworld and the Earthrealm. And if the Outworld wins the tournament 10 times in a row, then they get control of the Earthrealm forever. They've won 9 straight tournaments. This is going to be their 10th.
I love the idea that there are just some, like, gods out there who decided, like, this will be fun.
Yeah.
And this is what they're doing. Yeah, so when the text first came up, I read Earthrealm as Earthworm at first and was very confused.
They've got to defeat the Earthworms.
What's the Outworld? Is it like the Upside Down?
A bit.
Okay. It's just another world.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's not like hell.
It is not hell. That's
is a different separate
thing.
That does
That's
exist.
Where Hanzo is.
Yeah.
So, we now meet a fighter named Cole. We don't know a whole lot about him other than the fact that he attacks and is not good at blocking. And he gets thrown into a fight where we don't know it yet. I presumed it was his daughter.
Yeah.
Was kind of his person in the corner. It was, in fact, his daughter.
Yeah.
He's just getting fucking wrecked. She shouts out, throw your uppercut from the sideline, which, if you've played the original Mortal Kombat, is probably a move that you did a lot because it was very spammable.
Is that a line people say?
No.
Okay. Because there are several points in this movie where people say something that is said in Mortal Kombat a lot, like
yes.
Fatality, finish yeah. him, stuff like that. Most of the time it was fitting. One time in particular it was not. It was always very funny. But anyway.
Yeah, this is just one of the things. If you ever played against that person in Mortal Kombat who just crouched the entire match and just spammed uppercut, this is one of two references to that. There's going to be another one in the future where someone's just sitting there crouching, spamming sweep.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. They made that look really natural too, which I liked. I just button mashed.
Yeah.
Just slammed on all the buttons. And occasionally Sonya would shoot out a laser and I'd go, how did I do that? And then I would never be able to do it again.
Down forward punch.
I didn't know this. There was no internet to look up what the buttons were.
Luckily, in the original Mortal Kombat, most of the character specials were the same.
But I didn't know any of them. Yeah, anyway.
I experimented a lot. The version that I had like a notes page at the end of the game pamphlet where I could write things down as I discovered them.
See, I didn't, like, so I was unaware. Let's just talk about video games for a second, I guess. I didn't know that that was a thing. Like, I didn't know that there were going to be a series of buttons that I had to press in a certain order. Like, my brain didn't. I was a little child.
Mm.
And there was, the only way you found out anything about video games back then was word of mouth, usually through friends and siblings. And none of my friends played Mortal Kombat.
Or through Nintendo Power Magazine.
God, world.
Now, he's getting his ass kicked a little bit in here. The other guy's got him in a submission hold, to which his daughter, I'm pretty sure, yelled out, don't tap out.
Oh, yeah. She was like, beat him up, Dad.
He was about to have his arm broken. So he does tap out. But
well, what
yeah.
a pussy.
Yeah, I was like, damn, girl, what?
I like her. I hope there is another movie and that she has a bigger role in it because she's barely in this movie, but she seems badass.
Meanwhile, in the Outworld, Sub-Zero is told to kill off all of Earth's heroes so that there's no opposition for the next Mortal Kombat tournament. Shang Tsung, who is kind of the head of the Outworld fighters, is like, hey, you know what's even easier than winning a tournament? Killing everyone before the tournament starts. So go
wild.
Do that.
This is wild to me. Like, just have the tournament, dude. It's in like a week. Like, take a, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, they probably would have fucking won if they did.
Yeah, they absolutely would have won. Yeah.
Back in the gym, man that we don't know yet, but is Jax, approaches Cole. He tells me he's impressed with the fight. He asks to see a tattoo that he's got. Which turns out it's not a tattoo after all. It's actually a birthmark of a dragon that he's had his whole life.
It's the Mortal Kombat symbol.
It's the Mortal Kombat symbol.
I didn't know that was, like, a relevant thing.
I think that's... I don't ever remember that. I think that's new for this. I don't think that's a thing.
Ah, neat.
He does also say that Cole won the title, I guess, previously. I guess Cole used to actually be a very good fighter, but just is kind of washed up now. Jax mentions that he still remembers when he won the title from Ed Tobias, which I jotted down because the fun fact, the creators of Mortal Kombat are John Tobias and Ed Boon.
Mm.
And this is in Mortal Kombat 3, there was a hidden character called Noob Saibot that is just Tobias Boon backwards.
That's pretty fun.
That was fun. So he takes his family out for ice cream. Jax is kind of spying on him the whole time. While they're getting ice cream, they are attacked by Sub-Zero.
No.
No.
It's kind of cool how it starts to happen. It starts to snow. It's in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, it's neat.
Everything freezes. Yeah, it's neat.
It would have been beautiful. If not for the death.
Also, this is the movie that made me realize that Sub-Zero's a villain. I honestly had no idea. Yeah. I don't know.
When it comes to Mortal Kombat, there are no good guys.
I guess. Except Sonya. She's great. Oh, and Liu Kang.
Oh, yeah.
Love him.
Well, oh, we're not going to watch the original, actually. I was going to say, you can see that actor who was in Death Race.
Oh, yeah.
The first Mortal Kombat follows Liu Kang through the entire movie.
He's
specifically the lead.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll watch it.
I mean, I'd watch it with you. It still smacks. So Jack shows up in his car, rescues the family. They drive away. While they're driving, Jax kind of explains the whole thing to them, basically tells him, I have that birthmark too. You were chosen for Mortal Kombat. Before he gets a chance to talk more about it, Sub-Zero appears in the middle of the street. So Jax jumps out of the car to go hunt him while Cole takes the car and brings his family to safety.
In the form
relative
of his house.
Safety.
Surely
in a
they
place
won't,
they'd never
they
think to look.
We'll find him there. Dumbass.
So Sub-Zero and Jax are fighting. Jax is clearly outmatched.
Yeah.
Sub-Zero just kind of grabs both his arms, freezes them, smashes them off of him completely, and then just pushes him off a building a little bit. It's only down a story, but still.
Yeah.
It looked like it hurt.
And that's the end of Jax.
That's the end of Jax. We'll never see him again. Wink, wink.
I honestly thought we weren't going to. I was excited to see him later.
I know. I didn't want to ruin it for you.
Oh, you didn't. Thanks, hon.
I knew he was coming. As soon as he lost his arms, I was like, Jax is coming back with metal arms. BB.
See, I don't remember Jax in the games. Mm. He didn't look familiar to me at all.
He was actually one of the originals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, at home, Cole leaves his family there and is like, hey, I've got this mark on me. Sub-Zero's probably going to hunt me too, so I'm going to go ahead and leave you guys here, and I'm going to go find Sona, who Jax had told him about on the car ride. And mm-hmm. Maybe she can help.
Sonya Blade.
Sonya Blade.
Do you think she changed her name to Sonya Blade? She had to have, right?
I think that's a birth name from the clan of Blades.
Okay, sure.
You know how, like, in olden days, people would be named after their profession? Mm-hmm. Sonya's ancestors were swords.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's why she's good at wielding them.
Obviously. God, read a book.
Shit, fuck, all right.
Meanwhile, in the Outworld, Melina reports to Shang Tsung that Cole
Who?
Got away. Melina.
Who?
Melina.
John.
I'm tipping my fedora as I say it. Melina.
I never wanted to punch you so bad. All right, who's
she's
Melina?
One of Shang Tsung's fighters. Mm-hmm. We don't really know a whole lot about her yet. She's got kind of a weird mouth thing going on in the game. She fights with size, same as Raphael, the Ninja Turtle, and eats people.
Okay.
But we don't know that yet. So
it's the ASMR episode.
Shang Tsung tells Melina to send in the reptilians. Now at the rendezvous point with Cole and Sonya basically gives Cole the whole rundown of everything they know, them looking for Mortal Kombat people. There's a few Easter eggs on the walls here. I'm sure I missed most of them. I did notice that Nightwolf was on the wall there. He's never mentioned, but I saw a picture of him. He's one of the characters from Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 as well. also featured heavily in Mortal Kombat 2. So you'll get to see him, don't you worry.
Yay.
Now, Jax hasn't checked in with Sonya yet. She doesn't know why. We do. We also learned that the dragon markings that people have, it designates them as a Mortal Kombat champion. But if they're killed, the marking gets transferred to the person who killed them.
Mm-hmm.
This is relevant because we also meet another character at this point, Kano, who is the leader of the Black Dragon crime group gang, I guess.
Yeah,
Black
Dragon gang.
He is a douche. Sonya and Jax were going to recruit one of the people with the marks, but before they get there, Kano kills him. So Kano's got the mark now, so Sonya just kidnaps Kano instead, so he's a prisoner here. And then the reptile attacks. Now, we do not get the green version of Sub-Zero and Scorpion reptile in this movie. We get the just straight up fucking lizard.
I think that maybe they thought that would be confusing to audiences.
It probably would have been.
Yeah, I prefer just seeing him as a lizard with acidy blood.
He was pretty cool as a lizard.
Yeah.
He does have acidy blood.
He does.
I will say one thing that I like about this movie too. If a character that you like is in the movie, they will have their signature move. So, reptile, obviously spitting acid and shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his tongue lash.
He's spitting shit?
And he's got his ability to turn invisible. All the reptile classics.
Mm-hmm.
Kano uses some of this dripping reptile acid to free himself from his handcuffs, and then in the ensuing fight manages to rip out Reptile's heart.
Yeah.
To which he says, Kano wins.
Yeah. That one was less fitting than some of the others, actually.
Oh, I liked that one, actually.
It was okay.
It seemed like something Kano would say.
I was going to say, it does make sense for his character. If anyone else had said
it. It would have been very weird if anyone else said it.
Mm-hmm.
Sonya says they need to get to Raiden's temple. Luckily, Kano ran guns through that place, so he knows where to find it. He offers to take them there for the low sum of $3 million.
He's a real sucker. I like how he believed that Sonya had this money.
Right? He was suspicious immediately. It was like, you live in, like, this fucking trash heap. There's no way you have $2 million. And she was like, hey, watch your mouth. And then he was like, okay, how about $3 million? And she was like, yeah, for sure. And that was that. And then Cole's like, do you actually have $3 million? She's like, no. Are you kidding? Look around you. I live in this fucking trash heap.
Yeah. I loved Sonya, and she can get it.
That's true. So Sonya, it turns out, does not actually have a marking.
No. Yeah, and I think this is the point where Kano kind of brings up that she must be jealous about it. And she does kind of seem it. Which is a very badass trait, I gotta say. That she's like, I want to be picked to fight in a death ring. Bitch.
Kano does point out, like, hey, you could just kill me, and then you'd get it. So they have a little bit of a scuffle.
Sonya
establishes very immediately, like, gets him on the ground with a knife to his throat. I'm like, yeah, obviously I could kill you and get it. That would be fucking easy, but I'm good, bruh. As they approach the temple, Liu Kang approaches them. Now, he is a...
Liu Kang can also get it.
Liu Kang can also get it, although he's muscly in ways that you don't like.
Yes, I was... It was on, when he took off his shirt. He's very ripped in a way that I find, like, really defined muscles kind of, like, gross in a way. I wish I didn't, but, like, it it's like nails on a chalkboard almost, where like it makes me like I don't want to think about my inside meat.
And he's like, he's very like, he's very Bruce Lee ripped. Like,
yes.
He has this super fucking defined, he's like, he's not, he's not like a bodybuilder type. Like, he's not like a big jacked dude where like they can have muscles on top of muscles and it just looks like regular muscles.
Yeah.
Like, it's a small frame with just packed full of muscles.
Packed, like the most well-defined muscles you've ever seen in your life.
So this dude's jacked.
Fucking jacked. And also really hot.
and shoots a fireball right at Kano.
Oh, he does shoot a fireball at Kano. You shoot fireballs at him.
And then he offers to train him. So he takes him to Raiden's temple. Meanwhile, kind of this whole time, Cole's been having Hanzo visions. He doesn't really know what they are, but we do. At the temple, they find Jax. He is being treated for his injuries. You know, it looks like he's going to pull through. I also wrote a note here that Liu Kang is so dramatic.
He really is. He's like the Legolas of the of the group, where he's just kind of like very serious and dramatic.
Seriousness, and we'll just like ratchet it up to 10.
Yeah, we'll just drop like a wise line in there somewhere, and you're like, all right, bud. Chill.
His gestures are even dramatic.
Oh, yeah, like, it's great.
It reminded me, like, if you watch spoofs of old kung fu movies where someone like moves their arm a little bit, but the sound effects that associate it are like it's like that's the feeling I got like every time he gestured.
A beautiful man.
So Liu Kang brings them to see Raiden. Raiden is not impressed with what he has to work with here. He kind of frames it as like, oh, this is what I have to work with. Raiden doesn't do shit to work with any of them the whole time, so I don't know what he was fucking... He barely even oversaw the training. He was just there sometimes. Meanwhile, in the Outworld, Sub-Zero, Melina, and Shang Tsung... Oh, this isn't the Outworld, sorry. Those three go to the Earth Realm and they attack the temple.
Just instantly, they just help themselves to the temple.
Yeah, they're like, there was a secret door that Liu Kang had to go through to get here. He seemed to like know some sort of secret thing to just open the door to Raiden's temple.
Yeah.
They just fucking walk in. Sub-Zero's like, oh yeah, I know that shit too. Like,
real safe house, bros. Right? Jesus.
So they're like, Shang Tsung is like, hey, I'm just going to go ahead and kill these folks now. Everyone cool with that? And Raiden's like, no, it's against the rules. And he's like, no, I don't think the Elder Gods care, so I'm just going to do it. Go get them. And so Raiden erects a lightning barrier between them and Earth's champions.
You said erects. I've had some wine. So this guy is like a god, right? And his job is to watch over the Earth Realm, but not get involved in the Mortal Kombat. Is that it?
Yeah, like
he, but he is a god. He seems he like way more god. Powerful than the rest of them.
Yes.
Okay. And what are the other gods doing? They're all fucking jerking it somewhere.
They're just fucking hanging out.
They don't give a fuck about this. They're like, wait, what? The Mortal Kombat? That's still going on?
Yeah.
God, no, cancel it. We don't care. We haven't watched that in 3 seasons. That's what it feels like they're doing.
Pretty much.
Right, what's his name? Raiden?
Raiden?
I almost called him Raidon. That's a bug repellent. Raiden, he's like the one guy in the group project who's actually doing the work. What?
Did you say that Raidon was a bug repellent?
Raidon. It's a bug killer.
Oh.
Raid? Maybe it's just Raid.
I think it's Raid.
And Off is a bug repellent.
Mm, that's the one.
And Raidon is an element. I could blame it on the wine or my bad education. It's one or the other. Anywho, now that I've cut that part out of this, what happens next?
Now we get a training montage.
Yeah, a nice short one.
It's nice and short.
Like in the Rocky one, I spaced out for sure.
Kung Lao's beating up on Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Liu Kang.
Kung Lao, hun?
Oh, yes, Kung Lao. He pops out when the Outworlders attack the temple.
Mm-hmm.
He is kind of tied to Liu Kang. I think they're cousins.
Oh, hey, I think he does
like
call
adopted
him
cousins.
Cousin, but it could just be that they've been training for a long time.
Kung
Lao has hat powers.
Kung Lao throws a magic hat. It's very similar to a Captain America shield, where the physics are what you need them to be at any given time.
Yeah. And it's sharp.
And sharp.
Sharp hat.
So yeah, he's beating up Cole. Liu Kang is sparring with Kano, and he low sweep spams him.
It's good.
Basically, they're trying to awaken what they call the Arcana. Now, I mentioned that Liu Kang shot a fireball. Kung Lao has magic hat powers. If you're a chosen, you get some sort of magical power to help you in the tournament.
Yeah.
So they're trying to awaken Kano and Coles.
It's not going well.
It is not going great. It's not working. Jax also has new fancy robot arms. He's having a hard time adjusting to them. He's also trying to train to get back into fighting shape because he is still one of the chosen. He's having a tough time, but Sonya gives him some tough love and he keeps at it.
He's got some flimsy metal arms that they gave him, though.
Yeah.
For now.
Now, over dinner, they're eating, and Kano's being his normal rude self, and Kung Lao and...
Rude and racist?
Yeah, rude and racist. Those are the character traits. Kung Lao and Liu Kang are not having it, so they berate him. They make fun of him a lot. It's a good time.
It is a good time. They're also, like, clearly doing this on purpose, but...
So he gets enraged and then fires a laser out of his eye. That's his arcana, laser eye. Yeah.
He immediately was like, cooler than a fireball, and I was like, not really, Kano, but go off.
Yeah.
You will never be as cool as Liu Kang.
Because Liu Kang has more than just a fireball, we find out later.
Ooh, yeah.
Now... Anger worked on Kano. They're not exactly sure, but they think that maybe pain will work on Cole. So they did like Kano just beat the shit out of him for a little bit.
He seems kind of sweet and soft. Maybe he just cause him pain.
No dice on that one. And then Raiden tells him a little bit about his past. Says, oh, you're the descendant of Hanzo.
I like how you're throwing this out there. Like, we all know that. I mean, we all kind of figured that, but we didn't know that.
Yeah, we find out that he's the descendant of the baby that Raiden saved from Hanzo's cabin. Raiden also says, and by the way, you're a huge disappointment. You'll never be nothing. Opens the lightning barrier and is like, get out.
Go back to your family, you piece of shit.
And he does. He goes right back to his family.
Smart. Just lead everything all to your family.
Yep. Meanwhile, in the Outworld, Nataro, Cabal, and Raikou have joined the Outer Realm fighting team.
These are just other Mortal Kombat characters.
These are other Mortal Kombat characters. One is kind of like a harpy, a bit.
Yeah.
One is wearing a mask and has two... God, I forget the fucking name of them. They're kind of like... They look like a fire poke, like a fire... stoker or poker.
I don't know.
Poker. But they have like a curved bit at the end so you can like hook legs and things like that. It is an actual weapon. I'm blanking on the name right now.
He was pretty funny though. He had like a he was one of the only characters who had a personality. I will say a lot of the characters in this movie, if I had a complaint, they don't have much of a personality except serious fighter person.
A lot of serious fighter persons here.
Yeah, which I could take like one of those, but...
Too many straight men.
Yeah, there were a lot, so...
I feel like by nature of that, it makes Kano more likable, despite the fact that he's like a remarkably unlikable character.
But he's
just the only one that had personality, even though the personality is like scumbag.
It's true. Like you, in a way, could... connect that with being a real character, whereas everybody else was just kind of one note.
Yeah, so not likable in that like I want to hang out with them, but
yeah. But anywho,
and Raikou has big hammer man.
And then a shadow appears.
It is Goro.
Well, we don't know that. All we know is that he's got four arms. So if John immediately,
so we know it's Goro. It's Goro or one of Goro's kind. Which would be weird for them to introduce one of those that was not Goro. Mm.
I did recognize Goro. I wouldn't have been able to name him. But when I saw the forearms, I was like, okay, I kind of know this character.
Yeah. I guess to be fair, there are two forearmed Mortal Kombat characters. They're the same race. But the other one, I don't think was in Mortal Kombat 3. But she also has forearms.
Mm.
We'll see her in Mortal Kombat 2.
Can't wait. Seems like all the dump characters got... Yeah, John's nodding.
So now Goro hunts Cole at his house.
The four-armed orc.
His family.
Straight up looks like an orc from WoW. It's really funny.
He does a bit, yeah.
Yeah. Except for the forearms. Not his forearms, but his F-O-U-R.
Which he has four of. Four forearms.
Eddie.
I will say Goro looks much better in this movie. I like the puppetry from the original movie, and I disliked how she looked in the second movie, but I think the fully CG worked better here.
Well, in 2021, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, he's hunting Cole at his home with his family that Cole drew him to.
He gets his ass beat.
Yeah, he gets his ass beat, which is a common theme amongst Earth's heroes. They're all losing their respective fights. Raiden decides to kind of save some of them.
You totally skipped the whole betrayal.
Yeah, okay. Wait, where did I write this down? Oh, right. Okay, so this was after the Goro bit. So Shang Tsung is like, how do we get in there? There's a lightning barrier. And then Cabal says...
Cabal is the guy with the mask and everything. Yeah,
I know Kano. He's kind of a scumbag. He's the reason I have to wear this iron lung. But let me go talk to him. So he goes to talk to him through the barrier and convinces Kano to switch sides through the promise of riches, which we established before. You don't need to have proof of riches. All you need to do is tell Kano that you have riches and he'll believe you.
Yeah, he also tempts him by, like, you won't have to answer to anyone, that kind of thing. And Kano obviously doesn't get along with anyone here because he's a piece of shit and they are not.
Mm-hmm. Now to start the fight off, Shang Tsung yells, finish him, to his crew. And then his crew starts their fights.
And with Kano being on the bad side now.
Kano's on the bad side.
Shocker.
Good guys are getting worked over all across the board here until Kung Lao manages to kill Nataro with his hat.
The siren lady.
Yes. He puts his hat in the ground and then makes it spin like a table saw, mm-hmm. and then grinds Natara's face through it.
Yeah. Cuts her in half.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says,
flawless victory.
Not fitting. Didn't like that one.
No, that one wasn't good.
That one didn't work out.
It was a bit out of character, really? And he had been getting worked over up until that point. It was certainly not a flawless victory.
I mean,
maybe that one fight was, but...
I think he won his fight pretty handily compared to the rest, but yeah. And by that, I mean he actually won his fight.
Well, meanwhile, at home, Goro is going after Cole's family, having kind of beaten up Cole a bit and collapsed a building on top of him.
And then Cole's wife grabbed an axe and stabbed the big giant orc man.
Yeah, which, you know, distracted him, so that was good.
Yeah.
But Goro's now going after them. So
Goro did have Cole at his hands and said, now I'm going to rip out your spine or something like that, which I'm assuming is his fatality.
It's hard to keep track because I feel like so many spine
rippings
happened.
I think a few of them have that one.
But yeah.
I liked the homage, not homage, reference.
So seeing Goro go after his family, that awakens Cole's arcana, which literally this entire movie, I was trying to figure out which character Cole was going to be. And I was waiting for his arcana to awaken to be like, okay, what's it going to be? Turns out it was new. He was not a character. It was brand new for this movie. So when his arcana kicked in, I was like, this doesn't help me at all.
I think people did know that he was a new character. We just didn't know going in. Maybe we should have.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, we just didn't look into the... It reminded me so much... God, this is going to be a deep cut. It reminded me so much of like a Justice League thing, which you haven't seen it, but you may have seen the screenshot where like Lex Luthor like swaps places with, I think it was the Flash or something like that. And is like, now I'll finally be able to see who his secret identity is. And then takes his mask off and looks in the mirror and is like,
oh yeah,
I have no idea who this is.
No, I know that meme. You're right. I know that shit was fucking hysterical.
It reminded me so much of this. I was like, yeah.
I don't know who
that is.
So we did look it up after because I was really curious. Cole is created entirely for this movie, kind of to be like the everyman, the like human insert. So we have like a person to follow in this fantasy world. I think it was a good call. I think it was the right idea that they, and I liked Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
his power is pretty neat.
Yeah, so his power is he gets some kind of armor, kind of on his chest and arms, and he gets a weapon, which John will talk about more, I'm sure, in a second, because he knows more about it. And his armor kind of seems to absorb blows. We looked up after that the armor has like all of these weavings on it, and it's taken from like the basket weaving that his like great 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 grandmother was lying in when she was saved. So I thought that was a really neat idea. The whole idea of his power is that it's to protect Scorpion's bloodline, and I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah, it was well done.
He does fight with two Tonfas.
Kind of.
One is bladed.
Yeah.
which it initially caught me off guard because the whole movie and like his whole fighting style throughout the movie too is very MMA. It's very kind of like ground grapply type. And Tonfas are, to my knowledge, I've only ever seen them used in kind of like Muay Thai fighting. So I was very curious why they made the choice to give him these weapons. Mm. I looked it up after the fact, and the actor who plays Cole actually does have a background in Muay Thai. So, you know, maybe it was kind of a choice for that, but they're pretty cool weapons.
Yeah. So it seems to have, like, he has one that's defensive and it rests on his forearm, and then the other one is bladed. It was pretty cool. What?
I'm just, like, imagining the use of a Tonfa and... I guess it is. It could be defensive. I just, man, it hurts so much.
Okay. I think, like, the way he was using it was defensive, because against a sword or something.
I guess compared
like
to one that's just bladed.
Yeah.
So back at the temple, Jack sees Sonya pinned under a rock because she fought Kano again, but now Kano has laser eye and chopped a big piece of a rock off that fell on her. So Jax tries to raise the rock off of her, and he's having a tough time, and in doing so, he awakens his Arcana, which I think is just stronger robot arms that grew over his normal robot arms.
Cooler, more advanced looking robot. These are like his eye arms.
Yeah. So he picks the rock up
easily.
Those would
break immediately. I shouldn't have said
that's
that.
That's true. No replacements.
Cost $4,000 to fix.
He picks that rock up. Now that Cole has successfully used his newfound powers to dispatch of Goro, Raiden kind of teleports him back to the temple. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to teleport all of them away from the temple. I don't know why I couldn't just
do that immediately.
Do that immediately.
He was like in the bathroom for this whole time, the Thunder God man.
Yeah, he wasn't there the whole fucking time.
He was not there the whole fight. Which I get, it's against the rules for him to participate in this fight, fine, but he could have teleported them all out.
Yeah, right.
And he just chose not to.
Just keep teleporting them away anytime the bad guys get there until the tournament starts. Easy.
Right?
Did your job for you. Now, when Raiden is trying to summon them away, Shang Tsung pulls in Kung Lao and says, "Your soul is mine." And
apparently then, he sucks out souls.
And sucks his soul out, because that's Shang Tsung's thing.
And it was very sad.
A little detail I liked about this is that when Kung Lao is dying, he shouts out, "Liu!" To Liu Kang inside the temple.
Aww.
And in the original Mortal Kombat, the movie starts with Liu Kang's younger brother being killed by Shang Tsung, and right as he's dying, he shouts out, "Liu!"
And which one's Shang Tsung again? I'm sorry, I'm confusing.
The soul sucking guy.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Oh, that's so sad. Why would they do that?
Callback.
Oh, in such a depressing way. Heck, I was the only one who won his fight.
I know, right?
And I don't like seeing Liu Kang sad because I love him.
So, now that Raiden has taken his time, he's like, "All right, now I'll teleport you all to safety now that Kung Lao's gone and dead."
Except for Kung Lao. Sorry. We have his hat.
Oopsie doodle. Should have done it a minute earlier, but...
Not even, like 40 seconds.
So they strategize here. They decide, hey, you know how we beat them? Is we have Raiden teleport us to these people so that we can fight them one at a time, and then we'll beat them, and then the four of us will gang up on Sub-Zero and fight him.
I did love this idea, just because they already were fighting them one at a time, just at a different location.
And getting so worked over by all of them.
Yes. I mean, I get now Cole has his Arcade Fire. He's got his Arcade Fire now, and that's gonna work. Liu Kang's all pissed now, I guess. Jax has his cool arms now. you know, there's hope here. And Sonya, she's like, I gotta kill this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Cole? Not Cole. Cole's a good one.
She doesn't even want to fight Kano.
Kano.
She actually, like, she called dibs on Melina, and they're like, no, we want you to fight Kano instead.
It's like, no, go to Kano. Made sense.
Raid teleports them to those places. Kano is already at Sonya's house.
I don't know why.
For some reason. But,
Whatever. She kicks his ass.
Yeah, so Sonya kills Kano.
And gets his mark.
She's
very happy.
Jax fights Raikou and just...
annihilates
like
him.
Like a fucking chump. Just, like, smashes the hammer, kills him.
He's got his good arms now.
Yeah. He kills him in a fatality fashion, but
doesn't say
anything super cheesy afterwards. He's just like, these will work with his new robot arms.
I think he says, these motherfuckers will do.
Yeah.
Which is even better. I know, I was expecting like a fatality or some stupid Mortal Kombat line.
But that'll come later.
Yeah, someone else says that.
Liu Kang is fighting Cabal, and Cole is fighting Melina. Like we mentioned, Jax has a hella easy fight. Liu Kang unleashes another power we haven't seen before, which is just a fucking fire dragon that just consumes Cabal.
It's pretty cool.
At which point, Cabal says, fatality.
Yeah.
In the fight with Cole and Melina, Sonya actually teleports back in time to finish that fight off, too. So she got revenge on both her people.
Yeah, she gets her arcade fire right away.
Yes. A little laser shooting.
Yeah, her laser arms. That was one of the only, I think maybe the only power that I really knew, because I played Sonya a lot and button mashed until she shot purple lasers out.
Unfortunately, while this has been going on, Sub-Zero went to Cole's house.
Of course.
And kidnapped his family.
Yeah, wife and daughter. It's just a weakness.
Mm-hmm. So he has kidnapped them, and he teleports to where Cole is and takes out his daughter's bracelet to be like, yoo-hoo, look at who I got.
basically says that.
And then so Cole chases him through the portal, and they have a big fight.
Yeah, so they end up back in like the original ring that where we first see Cole fight, but now everything's frozen over. I did really like this choice to have it take place there, and the whole setting for it was really cool.
Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah, his wife and daughter are like frozen to the wall, just kind of separately. You don't really know if they're alive or not. Thankfully they are, spoiler alert.
Yeah, he's getting mostly worked over in this fight, like, pretty bad. Obviously, Sub-Zero is out of his league. He's just fucking wrecking him. And he seems to have found a way to stop his armor from working, too, even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then he pulls out the blade that he was gifted earlier from Lord Raiden, which is the one that Lord Raiden took from Hanzo's cabin, which has Hanzo's blood on it.
Yeah, it was what killed him. It's what Sub-Zero used to kill Scorpion, essentially.
So he pulls it out, which summons Hanzo, a.k.a. Scorpion. Now we have that big Scorpion-Sub-Zero fight that was at least 50% of the trailer of this movie, if you watched
it. It was so cool, though!
It was a cool fight.
Okay, look, I don't care who you are. Okay. If you know anything about Mortal Kombat, when you're like seeing Cole, this sweet little man, die, you know, losing a fight so desperately trying to save his wife and daughter, and then a fucking chain blade shoots out and grabs Sub-Zero's arm, and then he yells, "Get over here!" and pulls him away. That shit was cool.
It was a moment.
It was cool.
And Sub-Zero's whole slashing Hanzo, freezing his blood midair, and then stabbing him with his own blood.
That was cool,
too. As hell.
Yeah, I don't care how many times I saw the trailer. It was still cool. So, you know me, I'm not really into fight scenes that much. And this movie did a few things that made me invested in the fight scenes. One, they were short. That was really, really critical. There are a lot of fight scenes, but they're kind of divided up and they're really, really short. And that holds my attention. And the second thing is that they add like fantasy elements to them, or just some kind of way to keep them interesting. Like watching people punch and dodge for like 4.5 minutes straight. It's not going to hold my interest. I get it's like a massive skill. You're amazing. I don't want to see it. I don't care. But watching a guy cut someone's arm and then freeze the blood to make another blade and stab him in the neck, that's cool as hell.
It reminded me, like, a lot of indie games, I feel like what they do is they come up with one fun concept and they're like, how many ways can we use this concept?
Yeah.
I feel like before this movie, they were like, all right, we've got a guy with ice powers. Mm-hmm. Everybody, drawing room table. What's some cool ass shit that you could do if you had ice powers? And they went to fucking town and it was cool as hell.
Yeah, Sub-Zero has a lot of fights in this movie. I would say five, maybe. Like, he's in a lot of fights. And he does occasionally just keep using the, I have ice hands on your chest. And that kind of got old, but they utilized his powers in a lot more unique ways, too, which was also really cool.
He even got to use his ice clone.
Oh, yeah. That was dope. Yeah, the whole Scorpion Sub-Zero fight is really cool. It's short. Again, like everything else, despite it being the climax of the movie, but it was long enough to feel like the climax of the movie, I felt like.
Yeah.
You're kind of waiting for this build-up, because the first fight, you're rooting for, what's his name, Scorpion, but before he was Scorpion, and you want that revenge, you know?
And he does start losing the fight, at which point he and Cole need to fight together to beat Scorpion. Which they
to
do.
To beat Sub-Zero, you mean?
To beat Sub-Zero, my B Han. And they do. They defeat him.
Ba, 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 ba.
And they rescue Cole's family in time. All is good.
So Scorpion has, like, risen from hell. In case you don't know anything about Mortal Kombat, that's kind of like the story here, is that he's been in hell this whole time and he's learned to control the flames of hell. I don't know, but what a dope motherfucker.
Yeah, he finishes Sub-Zero off with one of his own special fatality moves where he just burns him with hellfire, which is cool. They didn't do the whole face turning to skull, but they did the half face, which was enough for me. I appreciated it. Now the rest of Earth's heroes are now teleported here by Raiden, and then Shang Tsung also teleports here and is all like, rah, 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 rah. He's talking shit, and then Raiden's like, I'm done with you, son, and then teleports him away.
Yes, which seemed to be in his powers, I guess, to
do. And then Cole decides to go hunting for more Earth's champions in preparation for the next tournament, which leads us to Hollywood, where he's gonna go looking for Johnny Cage.
Yeah, they kind of show a poster with Johnny Cage's name and, like, his bottom half, because that clearly I haven't cast him yet. Yeah, this is
credits.
a name I even recognize, mostly from the Mortal Kombat song. I'm going to be honest, that's where most of the names I recognize from Mortal Kombat. So yeah, that was the movie, the one that just came out that was on HBO. I think we watched. Yeah, that might be the only place you could watch it. I think right now. But it was really fun. I mean, it's not a good story. It's cheesy as hell. I wish the characters had more personalities. That, I think, is my number one complaint, is that I'm fine with one serious fighting man, but, like, five of them is too much.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, I feel like this is pretty common. I'm trying to think in the first one if anyone had better personality, but I think, like, Johnny Cage, and maybe they did. Johnny Cage and Raiden and Kano. Maybe they were the designated personality in that movie. But one thing they did in that movie, too, was they had a ton of silent enemies who never talked. They were just there to fight. So
you have to pay them as much.
Yeah. It made the non-personality people stand out. Like, oh, they might not have personality, but they have lines. So it's like a tiered.
Fuck. No personality and not enough women for me. It would be my two complaints, which I know what they're working with. They're trying to get as many Mortal Kombat characters in it as possible. I understand, but still.
Yeah, I think we only had three.
Yeah, we have Sonya.
We didn't have Sindel.
And then, like, Cole's family, but they're not really in it very much. His wife and daughter. I don't even remember their names. That's
yeah, me either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking mainly in terms of, like, the actual combatants. I think we only have Sonya Molina and Nataro.
Yeah, which, I mean, they created Cole, so clearly you can create more characters if you so choose. But yeah. How are you feeling?
I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was
I'm glad you weren't disappointed, because you were really looking forward to this.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was what I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah.
I don't think the trailers made it seem like anything that it didn't end up being. So
I don't know what people were expecting.
It's like those people that were like disappointed at Pacific Rim. Like, you saw the trailers, you knew what you were getting into.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, well, I'm glad we got to watch this one. I feel like give it a few weeks and it might be lower rated than the first one, which is bug wild to me because I feel like that movie is notoriously very bad, right? The first Mortal Kombat, even? Not as bad as the second one, I know. You're probably comparing
it. It's notoriously cheesy. I don't know if I'd consider it bad. It's probably bad. We'd have to rewatch it. It's probably bad, but...
Well, maybe we'll do that.
I appreciate what it did.
All right.
So how would you rate Mortal Kombat?
I would rate Mortal Kombat 2021 one Liu Kang. Actually, 100.
There's not enough room in the world for that much muscle.
I'll give it a Sonya as well. And I'll give it watching Kano die, because that was, like, really nice.
You always like to see it.
Always like to see Kano die.
No matter how many times you see Kano die.
And I will add 5 bad, cheesy Mortal Kombat lines. And that's a good thing. And that's my rating.
It's a good rating.
What would you rate Mortal Kombat 2021?
I would rate Mortal Kombat 2021 one sweep the leg.
Ooh.
And
then another sweep
one uppercut.
The leg. Oh, okay.
Which doesn't get thrown in the beginning, but does get thrown in the end against Goro, which was also a nice callback. I would rate it a handful of characters that are past my time, I guess, because there were a few that I did not recognize. But enough fan favorites to keep me happy.
Oh, yeah, a lot of fan favorites.
And then I'll just rate it Sub-Zero. I will rate it the Sub-Zero vision board. Whatever idea board they came up with to think of fun ways to use Sub-Zero power, I will rate it that.
Yeah.
Because it's good.
Yeah, they did good. All right. Well, that was it. Thank you for listening. And join us next week. We'll be talking about the lowest rated Mortal Kombat movie. I'm pretty sure you can guess which one it is. John and I do another podcast with our friend Mark. It's called League of Loreheads. It is League of Legends related, if that happens to be something that you're interested in. There are like 150 plus champions in the game. We are going through them alphabetically, reading their backstories, and kind of bitching about them, but also talking about the things we like too.
It's a good time.
It's a good time. And a much more successful podcast than this one.
But we love all of you.
No, of course. All 8.
Hi, Mom.
I don't even think your mom listens.
God, I hope not. I use potty words.
You said pussy a lot last week.
That's fair. Well, until next time, watch the best.
And save the rest for us.
Mortal Kombat.